Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live here today at Corner Pub in downtown, the new downtown location here at Corner Pub. And we've got a pair of passes on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Preds bus trip to St. Louis on Saturday, February 9th. And Floyd Reese, I think I found my new favorite sports bar.
I was just trying to count the TVs along this wall. I don't think I can figure it out. There are too many of them, and they're all together.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, one giant 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and then on the other wall, there's two for, like, each little segment. So about 5,000 is basically what they have out here at Corner Pub. And I almost don't even want to talk about it when I look at these TVs, because I don't want people to know to come here on Saturdays next year during the college football season, because then they're all going to come here and it's going to be packed, whereas I'd like people to not know about it so that when I come here on Saturdays, there'll be nobody here. But I guess that's probably not going to work
out. I think the secret's probably out.
Corner Pub downtown again. Come on out and register to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip to St. Louis Saturday, February 9th. Again, Yeehaw Brewing Company. Try their flagship beer, Dunkel, a German dark lager. They are outside of Section 107 at Bridgestone Arena for all Preds games and events. Okay, we got the Preds to get to today. We got the Preds in Vegas. We got Vandy in the Vols, which should be exciting, but for some reason, Vandy, the line is slipping like crazy. So a lot of money coming in on Vandy for whatever that's worth. But I want to start with this, and I want to start off with something Mike Vrabel said, because I think the fans have really kind of lost their commitment as far as Marcus is concerned. And I'm not going to lie, I've certainly dropped my commitment as far as Marcus is concerned. You know, like when they say, well, Goldman Sachs downgrades that stock. There's no doubt in my mind I would downgrade my feelings towards Mariota based solely upon availability, if not anything else. The fact that he can't be available, he was not available at the end of the season, I would have to downgrade Mariota. But it doesn't sound like the Titans are going to do that. It doesn't sound like that's what the Titans brass is thinking of. We played the clips from John Robinson on the Midday Show last week, and we played what he said to Mike Keith. And Vrabel yesterday at the Senior Bowl was kind of asked about Mariota and Arthur Smith being in and everything. And this is what Mike Vrabel said yesterday about Mariota.
I mean, we make decisions that are in the best interest of the Titans. Marcus is a huge part of that. And so are all our other partners. So I think that it's a huge part of what we're going to do. But we also have to be mindful of the other guys as well. And I think that this is the best thing for us is to continue on that path. And we're happy. I'm happy. I'm excited to give Arthur this opportunity. And I know that the coaches and the players that have reached out are excited as well.
So Vrabel had a little bit of coach talk right there for most of it, like he always does, where he doesn't say much. But he started off with, we're going to do everything in the best interest of the Titans, and everything for Marcus is in the best interest of the Titans. Oh, I'm talking too much about Marcus. And then all the other players, don't forget about the other players. But clearly going out of his way to saying they're going to do what's in the best interest of Marcus. And that is telling me that Vrabel and Robinson, whether you like it or not, or whether you think that Mariota can be healthy or not, they are hitching their wagons to him. They are looking at him right now like the Rams look at Goff, like the Chiefs look at Mahomes, like the Patriots look at Brady. Like the way that they feel about their franchise guy, it feels to me, at least for the moment, is how Mike and John seem to talk about their starting quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know that I can go there. Now, I'll say this. I don't think there's any doubt, but their wagons, you know, are hitched to Marcus. I mean, they don't have a lot of options. What are the options? You know, the absolute best thing for the franchise, the absolute best thing for John and for Mike is for Marcus to be a player, for Marcus to be the guy. I mean, that would be the best for everybody across the board. And I think that's what everybody's hoping. And I think until, you know, he gets to a point where he can prove it, I mean, I think he's kind of in the wagon. I'm trying to think of some guys that would kind of be like him. But guys that, you know, you're hoping. Please be the guy. And yet it seems like it's, you know, one step forward, one step back. One step forward, one step back. You can never get a running start. You know, you can never get out there and say, okay, he just proved to me after 16 games and we're in the playoffs and we made it to the second round, he's our guy. We're in great shape. And the scary part is this is going into year five. I mean, this is not year two.
Again, this is we are like the stock analysts who are, we are J.P. Morgan. We are Goldman Sachs. We are these people who are downgrading the stock. That doesn't mean that the CEO of the company that owns the stock or the stockholders or the people like that are against the stock. To me, that's telling me that that's, that the way we feel is not the same way that Mike and John feel, I guess, is what I get from every time they talk about him. And they talk about him like he's a franchise.
What are the options?
I know what you mean.
They got no options. You know, I mean, it's all they can do. And yet they're hoping, you know, they want it to be that way. I know. I mean, I know the feeling. And it's, and they want it to all be good, and they want him to be, you know, healthy and play great and, you know, be all the things that they want, because it answers so many questions. I mean, if at a point in time, just think about it, if at a point in time you got to say, this ain't the guy, now where are you? You know, yeah. Now you're starting all over. Everything goes back to step zero, and you start the whole thing over, and you hope again, whoever the guy is you get. So, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt but that everybody over at that Titan facility is praying like crazy that Marcus is the guy,
as are his teammates. I definitely think the teammates believe in him. I think that Vrabel and Robinson, I think that they look at him and they think that everything that I think about him, minus the injury stuff, they think about him. They look at him and they're like, hey, when he's healthy, he can be a player, which I think he can be a player. My problem is that he can't ever stay healthy. That's the problem I have. But they
just ignore it.
But they ignore it.
No, they don't ignore it.
They ignore it publicly.
Oh, of course they do. What are you going to say? Every time, how many times have you heard them talk about Marcus where they didn't at some point in time say,
when he's healthy,
when he's not injured, when he's, every statement you hear about him, it's in there someplace. You know, Marcus, when he's healthy, is as good as, yeah. And so they know. I mean, it's no secret to them. They got to figure it out. And I think they realize that, you know, and everybody over there, I mean, everybody's on edge from the standpoint that, you know, you want this guy to be. I'm talking about from Amy to Haas, you know, everybody wants this guy to
be
the guy.
Nobody knows who that is, by the way, but that's okay.
Haas?
Yeah.
Oh, you need to know Haas now.
He's the equipment guy.
Yeah, he's the equipment
guy. And he does a great job.
He's the best.
Well, I feel like Robinson and Vrabel are in a room holding hands in a circle, and they are praying for the health of Mariota, because I don't feel like they're doing a whole lot to be proactive in the health of Mariota.
Well, they don't have – what are the choices?
Go get another quarterback.
Wow. Now, what is it going to tell the world if you jump out in the first round and draft a quarterback? What's it telling?
It's happened before.
What does it tell them?
That you don't believe in Marcus.
There you go. Well, he's done. You know, you're not giving
him
a chance.
Drew Brees wasn't done when they drafted Philip
Rivers. The only chance you have is to ride the pony. That's the only chance you have. Or, and we haven't talked about it because I don't believe this is the case, they've already given up. And if they've given up, then there'll be some moving around now.
Oh, if they've given up.
If they jump out and draft somebody in the first round, or they go out and sign some, you know, $20 million backup, I'd say that's a pretty good indicator.
Would along those lines then, the pumping of the tires that they've done of Mariota a lot lately, would that not be to inflate the stock price? You know, to then say, hey, they're really pumping Mariota up. They really believe in him. They, you know, they really like Marcus. And then all of a sudden it's like, hi, John Gruden. Would you like to trade for Derek Carr? And John Gruden sitting there thinking,
Mayock and Gruden may be the only guys that would fall for that. Because nobody else in the league would, but. First time out, maybe.
I mean, it just speaking, and we, you know, just pulling this out of my rear end, which we do a lot of on this show. If the Raiders were cool with Marcus for Derek Carr straight up, would you take the trade?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
I think I would.
I don't know.
Just because I know Derek Carr will show up to play. And I have this theory about the Raiders players. They're better when they leave the Raiders. The Raiders are poorly coached. They have no home field anymore. It's just a disastrous situation in Oakland. Carr was a league MVP candidate a couple years ago. I just like Cooper. I believe he goes somewhere else and he plays well. I am convinced, though, and maybe I'm a dummy, which, again, is something that has been established well many a time on this show. I think John Robinson and Mike Vrabel are committed 100% to Marcus Mariota in 2019. Now, I don't know what their commitment level after that is, but that is their commitment level for 2019 is 100%. And I you hear them talking without a doubt. Every time they are behind them 100%, it reminds me of when – I was, well, you know what? I'll tell the story. We'll get to the story. Let's take your phones on Marcus. Again, Vrabel, just like J-Rob last week, offers glowing praise for Mariota at the Senior Bowl, saying that they're going to do everything in the best interest of the team, and that involves Marcus. So do we buy that Robinson and Vrabel are 100% committed? 737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. A loaded show today as we are live once again at Corner Pub downtown with our friends at Yeehaw Brewing Company. Come on out and register to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip. So I think this is the last chance you have to win those two, to win two spots. So you have to be 21 years or older to come on out and register, but again, I think this is your last chance, Saturday, February 9th, for that. Boy, let me tell you about Authentically American. Everybody's asking me, man, is Authentically American really as good as you say they are? And the answer is, of course they are. And if you're a business owner, you need to believe me on this one, that if you're looking for business apparel that your company will be well represented with, you need to go with Authentically American. Why? Because everything at Authentically American, whether it's the polos or the jackets or the shirts or the sweaters or the hats or the vests or the socks, everything is made in the USA. That's right, made in the USA. So everything there has that made in the USA quality. Big business, small business, does not matter. Authentically American has you covered. A great American company. They are online at authenticallyamerican.us. That's authenticallyamerican.us. Be sure to check them out today. Again, business owners, marketing managers, anyone who makes that decision for your business apparel, you need to go with my friends at Authentically American, online at authenticallyamerican.us. Jared and the GM live from Corner Pub downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Excited for our players to be able to stay really close to the system that they learned last year, that we implemented last year, and continue to grow and develop and improve, you know, in that system. We felt it was our best opportunity to be able to improve and to teach and not have to spend so much time in April learning, but try to develop and improve.
Again, Mike Vrabel talking about the new offensive coordinator and not making any changes, and I have told you what that means, Floyd Reese. No excuses about, oh, it's going to take time to learn a new offense. No excuses for the Titans next year. And I feel bad because I feel like when I say that, as you pointed out yesterday, that's not really a Vrabel thing, is it? It's a Marcus thing.
Yes, it is.
And that's the, and I don't want to be hard on Marcus.
Well, you just put that right on him.
Well, my thing with Marcus is, and I'm going to tell this story. Again, we are live at Corner Pub downtown. Again, this place just opened, brand spanking new. And we were talking about how many TVs they have here, because it's roughly about 5,000. But we went over the fact that apparently this is a giant LED wall that is in front of us that has, I don't know.
He said he can make it like three or four giant screens, or he can make it, you know, 200 small screens, whatever he wants. He can do it all.
Which is baller. Yeah, and so that's cool. What we're working with out here at Corner Pub. And again, come on out, register for a pair of tickets for the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip. Your last chance, I believe, to register to be on that trip with me and many others headed out to St. Louis on February 9th. So this is the story I want to tell. So in 1999, I was in the fourth grade. And my dad and I got our hair cut at, I think it was called Hex at the time, out in the Bellevue Mall, which the Bellevue Mall doesn't even exist anymore. And so we would get our hair cut out there, and they became the official go-to spot for Titans apparel was Hex, you know, like when they first moved to town. And so I remember we were leaving, getting our hair cut one day, and I'm going to throw my dad under the bus because my dad loves Steve McNair. But as we're walking through, we look at all the jerseys, and there's Bishop, and there's George, and there's Wycheck, and there's McNair. And, you know, the star players all have their jerseys up. And my dad says, they better get ready to bring the O'Donnells out because, you know, he like a lot of people, were kind of down on Steve McNair. Well, then Steve McNair has the Titans in the Super Bowl, and nobody ever said ever again that Steve McNair should not be the quarterback. I believe that you always believed in Steve McNair, regardless of the ups and the downs that he went through as a young quarterback and the Barry Stillmans of the world who were like, better get the O'Donnell jerseys ready. I don't think you ever thought that in your head as GM, and your opinion counts a lot more than, say, my dad's did at that point. And
well, I think
feel like John
right.
and Mike are in that same spot with Marcus right now, where you were with Steve.
Well, I think they're different. We really didn't have much doubt in Steve from the beginning. Now, we knew that Steve was going to be behind the eight ball, simply because of where he went to college, and you know he was a highly skilled guy that needed a lot of reps, a lot of coaching, and we told him that, and he knew that. And so I think we felt confident that, because there was no question about arm strength, there was no question about ability to throw the ball, no question about ability to run the ball, no question about toughness, you know, no question about any of those things. So I think in our mind, it was just a matter of, okay, we've got to give him enough time to learn the NFL and learn the offense and the defense and whatnot. And when that happens, we're going to be in great shape. I think the problem nowadays is nobody comes out of college as far behind as he was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody. I don't care who you are. You come out of college and you've got knowledge of something, you know, whether it's your complete offense or the defenses that you see in the Big 12 or wherever it is. But, I mean, they're going to be leaps and bounds ahead of where Steve was. And that's why I think you expect more. And I think we see more. That's why a guy like Mahomes can come in after his second year and light it up. That's why the guy at the Rams can come in and have a bad year, learn, bounce around, and then all of a sudden, you know, have a great year. I mean, I think all of those things help simply because they're so much better schooled coming out, that much more is expected of them.
So you don't think Mike and John are in the same spot you were with Steve that they are with Marcus? Because the fifth year for Steve was the 99-2000 Super Bowl team.
Right.
And I'm not saying – I mean, I expect 13-3 or 12-4 next year, and that could put you in a bye, and that could get you in an AFC title game and all kinds of things. So, I mean, I guess for me, do you think that they feel the same way about Marcus at this point that you felt about Steve?
Oh.
Like that they have the same conviction behind Mariota – that you had for Steve at that point when a lot of people were still kind of questioning Steve McNair?
I don't know, to be honest. I mean, I don't know how you would even measure it.
Well, you were behind him what percent? 100?
Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Okay, what percent do you think they're behind Marcus 100%?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. And for the record, I believe in Marcus. If he can stay healthy. And that I'm not sure I believe in. Let's go to Dean, who's going to kick us off today live out at Corner Pub downtown. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Dean.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Dean.
Another good show. One thing about Mariota, I think the pressure is more on the medical staff to see if we can get him healthy for a whole season. And number two, about the quarterback position. With the Mariota, the way it is, who are some guys in the upcoming draft, late rounds, or possibly free agent quarterbacks that you might pick up to have an opportunity to see whether they can make it and have to maybe be the star of the future?
Floyd, thank you for your call, Dean.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth, Dean. This is, from what I understand, this is not a great quarterback class, you know, which leads me to believe that after the first round and a half, there may not be a great deal of guys to draft, period, and certainly not guys that you're counting on to come in. I mean, we drafted a kid in the sixth or seventh round last year, and I mean, he couldn't get out of the starting blocks. And I think it's going to be another year like that. I don't know the number of choices. I mean, for example, even as a backup, you know, if they're going to do something other than Gabbert, then, you know, they're going to have to go out and get more like Gabbert, or you got to spend a ton of money and get somebody a lot better than Gabbert. But that's going to be expensive and a little bit telltale, you know. So I don't know. I mean, they've got a lot of tough questions to answer. And you know, it's not, like I said, the organization's in a tough position. Everybody, Marcus is in a tough position. I mean, Marcus wants to be here. Marcus wants to be a great player.
I think Marcus is in a simple position.
About that.
I think he's in a simple position. Stay healthy, play ball, win games, get your money.
Yeah. I mean, simple to say, simple to talk about, but to do is something else.
Like if they're 10-2 and they're coming towards late part of the season, if you're 10-2 late in the season, you're probably playing for the number one seed and for home field. And Marcus breaks three toes in his foot and can't walk for the whole week. And now Marcus has got to tough it out to try to play a game because he knows everyone thinks he's fragile. You know, like, that's going to be tough on Mariota. But them's the breaks, Junior. Like, that's how it works. Adam is up next here on Jared and the GM live out at Corner Pub downtown. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Adam.
Man, this might be the, you know, 150, 200 shows. Don't know how many I've listened to, but the first time I've ever caught hour one. Got out of work a little bit early. That's actually pretty thoroughly entertaining conversation y'all are talking about as far as the Derek Carr scenario. I would love that personally because that guy right there, he throws the ball and it's just a cannon coming out of his arm. And I think Gruden, he's a little off balance enough that he might would make that trade, but he's historically liked old quarterbacks, so maybe Flacco would fit more. But as far as our situation, man, I would pull the trigger on that. And the reason is because Marcus is not going to get much better than what he is right now, I don't think. I just think year five, for any other quarterback, people stop making excuses for you. So, you know, I love him, but everybody says that. We love him because he's so nice and they give him breaks. But, man, if he was any type of problem, he would have already been gone.
Thank you for your call, Adam. Floyd?
Yeah, I think there's truth there. I mean, if he was a problem child, they probably wouldn't be spending near as much time with him. But he is an outstanding guy and very well liked. And you know what? It's not because there's no want to there. It's not because it's just that. You know, when you throw 11 TDs and you're hurt, on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just not a lot there to sell. What do you sell? What's tantalizing about any of that? Nothing. Nothing is tantalizing. You can't look at that and go, wow, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it's hard to have backup stats when you're getting ready to ask for, you know, $150 million. It's hard to have backup stats and not be available for the biggest game of the season and then try to say, well, you know, though, Marcus has the, you know, like you can couch a lot of things in life. It's really hard to couch that. Like, it's really hard to couch Joey Harrington's career as a legitimate NFL quarterback, even though Joey Harrington had some nice moments. But, you know, that's pretty much what you have. Jared and the GM are live out at Corner Pub downtown, where, once again, we are registering you to win a pair of tickets on the Predators bus trip out to St. Louis to watch the Preds take on the Blues. We'll get back to your phones in just a second, 615-737-1025. Tonight, 9 o'clock against Vegas, the Predators will be taking on Vegas, and Corner Pub will have $1 off Yeehaw drafts during all Preds games. That includes their flagship Dunkel, their dark German lager, and pale ale. So come on out to Corner Pub. We're at Corner Pub downtown. Come on out to register to win those pair of tickets so that you can be headed with us to St. Louis to watch the Preds take on the Blues. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Arthur Smith is ready for this. I mean, I have no doubt because I have worked with him. I've seen him. I've sat in the same room with him, game planning, and then I've watched him grow as a coach. I've got no doubt this is a good move.
That was Dave McGinnis on the Titans podcast. He's all about Arthur Smith. But, Floyd, I think you and I would agree. The Titans are going to have to make some additions or changes, even with Arthur Smith, if they're going to be, again, what I am setting the bar at for next year, 12-4.
Okay.
There's one name, though, that today I think might be a fit for the Titans. Did you see what Cole Beasley said today, Floyd?
I saw one statement he made. I didn't hear that.
Cole Beasley of the Dallas Cowboys said today on Twitter that, quote, the front office pushes who they want to get the ball to. I haven't been a huge priority in that regard. Maybe that will change, but I'm not sure. More balls come my way in two-minute drill when nothing is planned. Beasley then later, 11 minutes ago, tweeted out, some are misunderstanding my point. Every team's game plan in pro sports is dictated by the front office. Big free agent additions, high draft picks, etc. are going to get the most opportunities, and I'm not mad at that. LOL. I just want to help my team win. All good players want the rock. So Cole Beasley wants the football. He's a free agent in Dallas. Jerry came out and said today, apparently. Jerry said, quote, we don't get involved in that, in reference to does the front office push for players to get the ball. Well, I think everybody knows Jerry does get involved in that. So there's no doubt in my mind that Jerry gets involved in that. But I was thinking about it today. What about Cole Beasley? Davis, Beasley, Taylor, Delanie Walker? I think Beasley would be a perfect fit for the Titans. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean,
since you won't let me have Antonio Brown.
He could come in and maybe be, you know, another guy. But you're looking for substance. You're looking for, you know, ones and twos.
But can he be like the poor man's Edelman of the Titans?
He would be. That's what he would have to be.
And what's wrong with that?
Slot guy. Well, nothing's wrong with it. But, I mean, now, you know, you probably take some snaps away from Taylor. Maybe that's good, bad, and different. You take some snaps away from some of these other guys that, you know, what's the upside? I mean, if you look at the upside of Beasley, I mean, Beasley is what he is. What you see is what you're going to get. And he goes out there. And I've always liked guys like that, you know, simply because – they're going to be there week after week. You can count on them. They're going to go out and they're going to make their three or four or five catches and gain you 50 or 60 yards. Are they game breakers? No, they're just guys. But everybody's got to have them, you know.
The Titans need some guys. I mean, they need some better than that guys, but they need some guys.
Yeah, I mean, we need some guys that can go out there and make something happen. You know, you need 60, 70, 80 receptions. I mean, you need somebody up the line there a little bit.
Again, if he can be the Edelman or the Welker of the Titans, that's what I want, because they need somebody like that. They've already got a number one supposedly in Davis. Somebody asked me the other day, or asked me this morning, to name the top five wide receivers in Titans history. D-Mace clearly number one. After that, I went Drew Bennett, Justin McCarron's, Kendall Wright, and I'm trying to think who the other one I went with was. But, like, it's bad. Nate Washington and Kendall Wright. That's the top five since this team has moved here. That's terrible. So even a guy like Beasley would help a little bit. And the more I was so vehemently against Antonio Brown, but the more I think about it, the more I'm starting to entertain the idea of Antonio Brown on the Titans, with the caveat of knowing that I know John and Mike would never entertain the idea of Antonio Brown on the Titans. But I'm thinking about it more and more. If you can get like a DeMarco deal where you trade spots in the fifth round and then you basically get to sign the contract to how you want it, not to how Antonio wants it, then I think I'd be okay with it. As we are live at Corner Pub downtown, come on out. Register to win a pair of tickets on the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip to St. Louis. That includes tickets to the game. So you get on the bus, you go to the game, you get off the bus, you're back here in Nashville as we'll go to St. Louis on Saturday, February 9th to watch the Preds take on the Blues. The boys from Yeehaw have come out here. They've got the Yeehaw swag out here. So come on out, register. Thanks to our friends at Yeehaw Brewing Company. Let's go back to your phones. Jack is up next here on Jared and the GM, live at Corner Pub downtown. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, guys. I've got one of those O'Donnell jerseys. Floyd, I might need some help here in recalling his career. I thought he was a great backup for the Titans. I wish we had somebody of his caliber. I didn't think too much of him when he was with the Jets in Pittsburgh. He was kind of brash, and maybe it was just his northern accent. I don't know. But if I recall, he was cut when the Titans decided to keep Billy Volek. McNair got hurt, and I think the Titans called O'Donnell back up off the street, and he came in against Tampa Bay and threw three touchdown passes or something like that. Is that how his career
Wow.
evolved?
You know what? I don't remember, to be completely
Thank
honest.
You for the call. Was
is
he
that
asking?
The way, Neil? Did we cut Neil and keep Billy and then turn around and sign Neil?
Yeah. So what happened was
I can't remember.
So what happened was before the 2003 season, the Titans were right up against the cap. I mean, it was like guys were restructuring their contract every day. In fact, in that season, Joe Nedney tore his ACL. The kicker tore his ACL in the season opener, and the team had to redo contracts in order to get Gary Anderson to come in and kick. So, to that point, you guys, at the end of the preseason, cut Neil O'Donnell, kept Billy Volek on as the backup, and then Jason Gesser was the third-string quarterback. Jason Gesser, by the way, has got a bevy of problems, you know, now. But neither here nor there. Then Billy Volek played and beat Mike Mularkey in the Bills, and Billy Volek lacerated his spleen in that game, and then Neil O'Donnell came in as the backup and played the last game of the year, which was a meaningless game against Tampa Bay. And that was the last game of Neil O'Donnell's career. How I know that, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember any of that. Of course, when you have all your quarterbacks getting hurt, you hurry and try to forget those.
Well, you were 12-4 that year. And if Jeff Fisher, now this is, again, goes to highlight how crappy of a coach Jeff Fisher is. In that season, the Titans were neck and neck with the Colts. The AFC that year, the Patriots ended up going to the Super Bowl. But the Titans, Patriots, and Colts were clearly the three best teams in the AFC that year. And in the game against the Colts in December, it was kind of one of those, hey, if you're going to win the division, you got to beat the Colts in Nashville in this game, and then it's going to be a wild run down to the end. And in that game, Jeff Fisher decided out of nowhere to put Eddie Berlin, a wide receiver who never played, put him back to return kicks. Berlin fumbled two kickoffs, and Peyton Manning converted those into points. And then he finally takes Berlin out. Then Steve McNair brings him all the way back. Then Peyton is punting. The Colts are punting with like a minute left and at down three, and everyone knew McNair was going to win the game. And Justin McCarron fumbles the punt, and the Titans lose. Mm. And that right there, Jeff Fisher. Just, ugh. And there goes home field, and now you have to go to Baltimore in the playoffs, and all kind of, you know, you ended up winning that game, but then you lost to New England in a game that was like 3-0. So how I know so much about that one season and that one team, I don't know, but that's all I know in life, and I am not an expert on anything else. Although I will say this, Warren Buffett, I was watching a Warren Buffett speech the other day. Warren Buffett says the key is to not try to know everything, but to be an expert on one thing. And so, like, he was talking about when he first met Bill Gates, and Bill Gates was trying to sell him a computer, and he was like, why do I need a computer? And Bill Gates said something along the lines of, it's going to revolutionize everything. And so Warren Buffett looked at him and said, is it going to keep people from chewing gum? And Bill said no. He goes, is it going to change what kind of gum people chew? Bill Gates said no. Warren Buffett goes, then what do I need a computer for? And so Warren Buffett didn't invest in computers or whatever. And Warren's thing was, and Bill was an expert in that and made his money, and I was an expert in what I was an expert in. And Warren's made his money. So my point being is, at least if I'm going to be on a radio show that talks about the Titans and the Predators all day, I probably, if anything, need to know the history of the Titans and the Predators and nothing else. And I would like to think I'm pretty good at that.
You do have a good memory. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But, like you said, what else is in there?
I don't know anything else.
What else is in there is a little scary.
There's nothing else I know at that level. So, again, why can't I have Antonio Brown? The more I think about Antonio Brown, the more I'm like, you know what? If you can sit Antonio Brown down and say, Antonio,
nobody's ever done that.
Are the rules. You break the rules, you're out of here.
And I would guess, especially at Pittsburgh, that nobody ever said that to him. Probably never had a coach after all the incidents he's been through say, Antonio, you don't need to be doing that. Let's don't do that anymore.
Yeah, but no, this
okay,
is
coach.
This is last chance. This is, hey, if you do this, you will not be here. You will be gone. Like Belichick does with all those guys. And sometimes it works out like Randy Moss, and sometimes it doesn't like Josh Gordon. I don't know why we can't look to see the Titans try to do that. They want to be like New England in every other way. Why can't they be like New England in that way?
Do you remember what James Harrison said about entering the locker room and seeing Tom Brady?
Yeah.
And how he reacted and how he, Tom Brady, was the best teammate, the best guy, the best everything. Everybody that enters that locker room sees Tom Brady and does the same thing. And before it's all said and done, they're all bowing at Tom's feet. He doesn't want it. He doesn't. That's just the way he is. Who's going to do that here?
Marcus.
Jared and the GM live out at Corner Pub downtown. Again, come on out and register to win a pair of tickets on the Predators Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip. Former Titans receiver Chris Sanders will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on Arthur Smith. We'll get his thoughts on the receiver situation. We'll get his thoughts on Mariota and what Vrabel had to say. All of that coming up next. Jared and the GM live out at Corner Pub downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM live out at Corner Pub downtown. Again, come on out and register to win your opportunity to hang out with us and go to St. Louis to watch the Predators take on the Blues Saturday, February 9th. Again, come on out and register. Must be 21 years or older. Thanks to our friends at Yeehaw Brewing Company. Be sure to try their flagship beer, Dunkel, which is a dark German lager. You can try that outside of Section 107 at Bridgestone Arena. The Titans have a new offensive coordinator. The coach and the GM have both reaffirmed their belief in Mariota. A lot going on in the NFL. We're joined now by former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, who joins us on the show, brought to you by Craneworks, serving the Southeast for over 30 years. Visit craneworks.com. Okay, Chris, you wanted continuity at the offensive coordinator. You wanted someone on the staff, and they've elevated Arthur Smith. What was your reaction when you found out Arthur Smith was moving from tight ends coach to be the offensive coordinator of the Titans?
You know, I think it's a great move. I mean, number one, it builds confidence. I think last year, you know, I think the reason why the offensive line struggled, the receiver struggled, and different guys struggled is because they weren't familiar with the new offense. And when you hire him within, now you really don't have to change the concepts. You don't have to change the verbiage. You just kind of build on what you need to build. And I just think that I think it's a great move. I think the fans may be a little upset because it's not a sexy pick. And when I say a sexy pick, that means a big name that everybody knows. But I think Mike Vrabel knows what he wants. He wants a guy that's been grinding. He wants a guy that knows the system. He wants a guy that has a relationship with the players. And also he wants that continuity. That's what you're talking about. And that's what you got. It may not be a good fit for another team, but I think for Mike Vrabel, it's a good fit for his team. And I think it's a great hire.
What do you think it means for both Marcus and Derrick Henry to have at least a little continuity in a guy who's been around?
Right. I mean, you don't have to start all over. I mean, when you build confidence with a team and you know what you're doing, I mean, you just play different. I think last year the reason why you saw the mistakes and you saw the penalties and you saw a lot of things going wrong in Mariota's progression is because they were unfamiliar with the offense. Now they have a year under their belt. You have Henry that has a year under his belt. You have Mariota that has a year under his belt with the same offense. Now they're going to play different as opposed to playing a little tentative. Now they're playing with confidence that they're going to throw the ball and knowing exactly where to be and knowing exactly what to do. And I just think, in my opinion, it's a great, great hire because it benefits not just the players, but it benefits this whole coaching staff.
Chris, if you had to guess what the offense would kind of look like, now nobody knows, but and with a tight end coach taking over, how would you kind of envision that?
I think it's gonna be really, really simple. I think you're gonna look at a lot of 21 personnel. That's two back, one tight end, and two wide receivers, and more of a power football. I know last year they were running like the spread, the West Coast offense, but I just think that he's gonna tweak it just a little bit because if you look at the last four games, the reason why the running game came to fruition is because they just simplified it. I mean, it's your guy on this guy. I'm blocking the four technique, the five technique, the nine technique, and made it so simple. So when you have guys making it simple, and you then, I guess, actually, you know, guys can make plays simply. They can make plays and just go out and do what they need to do.
Who's your player and the offensive coordinator takes over, and he's not the guy that coached you, but you've worked with him for three or four, however many years, and know all the systems he knows. What kind of comfort level does that give you?
I mean, it gives a lot of comfort, Logan. That's kind of the situation that happened with Les Steckel. Les Steckel coached me at first, and then he went to offensive coordinator, and then I got another wide receiver. His name was Coach Steve. So, you know, when Les Steckel left me, The verbiage didn't change. The routes didn't change. But just like you said, Floyd, it's that comfort level, knowing that I have a couple of years under my belt with Les Steckel. The technique stayed the same. The verbiage stayed the same. The concept stays the same. So if you look at my first and my second year, I really flourished because, you know, I played with confidence. I knew what I was doing. You know, I didn't have to guess. I knew what the safety was going to do. It just like you said, it gives you that comfort level, not just with the offensive line. You have a comfort level with the receivers, the quarterback, and all around. I just think it's a great job to have to do it just like that.
Chris Sanders with us, presented by CraneWorks. When you go back to the way we knew how LaFleur wanted to use the running backs, and It didn't totally sync up with the running backs that they had. Knowing that Arthur Smith has been here with Trubisky, he's been here with LaFleur, You know, what do you expect to see out of Derrick Henry next season with how they're going to use him?
I mean, I think his game is going to improve. I mean, just like what we talked about the last four games, when they simplified it, and it was just power football. He didn't have to think. And if you look at the zone read, the run-pass option, you know, that little step kind of messed Derrick Henry up a little bit. But when Derrick Henry had to come downhill and he just had to make one cut and go, I mean, it makes a total difference in Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry, I think he's going to be a beast next year. I know he was a beast in the last four games, just like you said, let the big dog eat. And I think if he plays like his last four games, I just think that, man, it's going to change up so many things. It's going to help the wide receivers. I think it's going to open up so many things for this offense to flourish.
How much – and I don't know how you quantify this, but In your mind, how much better does Marcus have a chance of being just because, again, there's I mean, when Arthur gets up there and talks, everything he's going to talk about from the last three or four, Marcus has been through. He's going to know all the verbiage. He understands everything. How much better does that give him a chance to be?
You know what, Floyd, that's a great question. And the one thing that's really going to help is he doesn't have to think. I think last year the reason why he was making so many mistakes is because he was thinking so much. The reason why he was throwing into cover two into a guy that's sitting there that's covering the flats is because he was thinking too much. I think when he comes into OTAs and when he comes into camp, he can just let his skill set take over. And when I say let his skill set take over, it's just like riding the bike. It just comes natural. When it's cover two, I know where the sweet spot is. If it's cover three, if it's man, I know exactly where to throw it. I mean, if you look at Tom Brady, you know, he's been in an offense for years and years that he knows that if he sends the guy in motion, it's man-to-man coverage, and he doesn't have to think. He doesn't have to think. He knows that he's going to throw it to the single receiver. And that's the same thing with Mariota. If they're simplifying it for him, and when they do it like that, it's just going to make Mariota relax, and he doesn't have to think, and he can let his skill set take over.
Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, with us. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Floyd yesterday. No. Floyd yesterday put on the needs of the team in the offseason, put wide receiver on there, and talked about needing more receivers, draft guys, sign guys, that kind of thing. What do they have at wide receiver, in your opinion, in Davis and Taylor, and what do they not have?
You know, I think they have some solid receivers. I think Corey Davis, with him being in the system, I think he can be a number one receiver. But you still need another guy that can take the top off the defense. I know everybody's kind of saying everything verbatim that you need a speed guy that's going to take the pressure off Davis. I mean, if you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, the reason why Antonio Brown is getting the ball so much is because, you know, Juju Smith is doing an outstanding job. So if you get another guy like that that can take the top off the defense, that can beat cover two, that can beat double coverage, and now it singles up Corey Davis, and it makes him better. So I just think if they go in free agent-wise or if they go in the draft, you cannot just get a guy. You have to get an impact player. And when I say impact player, a guy that the defense has to take notice. Because if you look at the Tennessee Titans receiver, the only guy that they take notice of is Corey Davis, and I think that's a problem.
We were talking yesterday about Delanie Walker and his injury.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's 34, 35-year-old guy.
He's an old guy.
Yeah, that just completely tore that ankle up.
Yeah.
What are the chances of him coming back and not feeling some of that?
You know, well, that's a tough situation. It's kind of like, I know it's a little different injury, but I remember when Kevin Dyson tore up his knee. And I was watching him run routes. I just think that mentally, you know, he couldn't really do it at first because he was afraid to tear up that knee again. And the same thing with Delanie Walker. He's going to come back stronger. He's going to come back big, and he's going to come back fast. But I think the mental part and the mental hurdle is what he's going to have to get over, because, you know, the way he hurt it, it was horrendous. So he thinks that every time I get tackled, ooh, am I going to get hurt? So I just think that if he can get past the mental stage, then I think he's going to be right. Everybody knows he's going to be a dog and work out on the offseason, because he even said you better watch out for 2019. But if he gets past the mental part, I think we're going to see the Delanie Walker that we're accustomed to seeing.
He is Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver.
What's up,
Chris,
man?
We always appreciate it. As always, good to talk to you.
Man,
thanks, Chris.
Hey, good to hear from you guys. You're welcome, guys.
We'll see you. Okay. Chris Sanders joining us as always, again, presented by Crane Works, as we are live out at Corner Pub downtown. Now, the Corner Pub downtown, it just opened. And I'm telling you people, if you guys have not been out here, you got to check this out. I'm going to put up on my Instagram story a picture of the TV setup here, because goodness. My Instagram story at @TheJaredStillman. I'm going to put up a little Instagram story right there so you can see it. And you can see all the TVs, including the wall. And honestly, that's not even going to do it justice. But this has got to be the place to watch sports. So, again, come on out today. Come on out and see us. There's parking right next door, right across the street, right out here. And register to win the pair of tickets on the Predators Yeehaw Company, the Yeehaw Brewing Company Predators bus trip out to St. Louis to watch the Preds take on the Blues. If you work downtown, swing on by. That's Corner Pub downtown. So come on out. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game National app.